Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I want to talk to you about Ruth and the Reapers. Ruth and the Reapers. Ruth 2 and 1, the Bible said, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred Elimelech." And of course you know that Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, who came back from Moab after the death of her two sons. And one daughter-in-law stayed in Moab, but Ruth determined to make Naomi's people her people and her God, Ruth's God. She comes back to the promised land with Naomi. And so in this setting, you see that Ruth went by herself. No one accompanied her at the moment. No one held her hand. No one walked alongside her for comfort and confidence. She went alone to the field of grace. She had to get it for herself. You see, there is a journey that some will make. It's one alone. But the field that you're presently in is one of grace and possibility. You won't know it if you don't go to the field, and if you don't trust the Lord for something different, something new, something that is far beyond the emptiness of your past or the barren fields of your family upbringing or the fruitless tears shed on altars of human acceptance. You won't discover the destinies of grace if you stay isolated in fear, because there's no yield of peace. There's no gleaning of truth. There is no fruit of salvation. Come out of the trap and the tradition. Come out of the prisons of yesterday's excuses and experience something in the tender hand of God, something that takes you beyond the mere exercise of religion, because you can't find it in mere religion. There's no crop there. There's no harvest of real joy. You have to find the reapers, the people that harvest the fields that are fully grown, fields that have been cultivated for this moment, fields that sway in the winds of a new day or a morning after the many nights of broken hearts. It's out there, white and ready, stalks of prophecy, grain of grace, the wheat of hope and the barley of unknown blessing. Ruth 2 and 4 says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." You see, my friend, I want to stop here and make the point. Where you are from is not as important as the new field. Some come from Moab with a desire for the things of God, and yet some, like Elimelech was in chapter 1, they can't wait to leave because it's not meeting their expectations. Ruth wanted the revival of the promised land. She wanted the prospects, the possibilities, something beyond the borders of the traditional and the foreign and the idolatrous and the worldly. She wanted something in the land of God. She wanted the customs and the causes of her mother-in-law. She didn't look over her shoulder wishing she could go back to Moab. Moab was not in her mind. Moab was not in her heart. She didn't say, "Well, if I was back in Moab, this is what I could get." No, she went to work. She was willing to go to a field where she was nothing but a stranger, a foreigner with a new faith, a stranger with a prospect of hope and a desire to do whatever was necessary to feed them. You see, some are hungry and so full of self-hate that they can't try something different. They're trapped. But you don't have to live in the snare of regret or the pit of depression or the caves of loneliness. You don't have to stay in the prisons of the past eating the scraps of the devil. Some are hungry and too full of bitterness of what others did to them that they refuse to be blessed by the gleanings of another man's harvest. And then some are hungry and too accustomed to the taste of Moab to go into the fields of something new, to eat the bread, the way the church makes bread. They want something secular in it. They want the leaven of lies put into it. But my friend, when you get the stirring of the Spirit, when you get a conviction of the Holy Ghost, when you get a deep experience with God, you won't settle for just living in the barren places. You're going to want to go to the fields where the reapers are. You're going to want to be a part of those in the church that are doing something for the kingdom of God, not just standing around criticizing what should be done, not just finding all the problems in the church and never becoming a part of the solutions in the church. No, that's not the spirit of Ruth. The spirit of Ruth is looking for the reapers. The spirit of Ruth is like the church of the last days. It wants to be something, a part of something bigger than just the ordinary and just going through. Then Ruth 2 and 7 says, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Oh, my friend, we tarry a little, but we reap a lot. At least that's the will of God. From the morning to the evening, the former and the latter, the composite of all ages, the conclusion of 2,000 years, a buildup in our generation of divine proportions as the final gathering takes place. Get Ruth out of the house and in the field. She wasn't discovered in the house. She was seen in the field, working hard, gleaning anything that could be gleaned. Are we tarrying too much in the house? We have our meetings, but are we gathering? We have our retreats and conferences and Zoom sessions and think tanks, but are we gathering? Ruth was associated with reaping. What is the church of the last days associated with? Begging for secular attention? No, get back to the field. Lobbying for worldly acclaim? No, get back to the field. Debates in the shadows of public opinion? Stop worrying about what sinners think of saints. Get back to the field. Because Jesus said the fields are white unto what? Harvest, not observation. Harvest, not critical theories of what could be done. Harvest, not arguments and needless debates and doctrinal symposiums that go nowhere but the wastelands of religious pride. Harvest, not hypothesis. Harvest, not the hypocrisy of synthetic plants and fake flowers that need no watering. Harvest. And if you think about it, the feasts, or the majority of the feasts of Israel, were largely centered around agriculture. Harvest. Gathering, what was coming in, the crops and the yield, the rejoicing of the reaped. They didn't get together at the feast of ingathering and talk about the shape of the seeds or the effectiveness of the seeds or the theory of what might happen with seeds. They feasted because of harvest, something brought from the field to the store. My friend, harvest is not just hearing, it's doing. Ruth's plea to her mother-in-law in the first part of this chapter was, let me go to the field. You don't have to go to another country to find the field. And I'm not saying that there aren't necessary people called to be necessary missionaries. But right there in your church, right there with your pastor's vision, right there with numbers of sinners around you in your town, in your city, in your metro areas, you don't even have to go to your own field to work for souls. She didn't go to her mother's field or her former husband's field. She went to Boaz's field, a stranger, And we have cities full of strangers that are in the field, waiting for a spiritual Ruth, for a diligent church to reap in their fields. Strangers on the job and strangers on the street, strangers in the store, strangers on the phone, and even in families you haven't seen for many years. The spirit of Ruth wasn't looking for a platform to get noticed, but a field to reap. And look back at verse 4. Who's the first people with whom Boaz speaks? It's the reapers, not the whiners. It's the reapers, not the entitled sloths of dead religion. It's the reapers, not the gossipers. The reapers, not the regretful who fold their arms and speak of things that might have been. The reapers, not the holier-than-thou religious. The reapers, not the gamblers or the greedy who just want to gain from what others have done. Reapers, not only weepers, because joy comes in the morning for those who know something is coming to reap. A harvest is coming, and they are ready to go to work. Then Ruth 2 and 8 through 10 says, Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now think about it. It was grace for a stranger. But even though Boaz didn't know her, he knew what she had done. Her reputation preceded her act of reaping. So now favor came upon her by Boaz because she was a willing stranger in a strange land. And so she gains grace. She obtains the fruitfulness of favor. She will walk behind the servant girls for the next several weeks and glean the immediate sheaves left behind and fallen in the field. Oh, what a double-edged meaning of grace. Ruth, a type of the church, picking up the fallen, the left behind, the discarded, the ignored, the neglected, the unloved, the dropped, the lonely. And Ruth was honored to get her filling, her sustenance from those sheaves left behind. What sinners left behind by a world of evil and disgrace lay in the roads of destiny? What broken soul, like a snapped stalk laying alone in the field, is ready to be gleaned in the altars of revival? Ruth reaped the remaining. Ruth's harvest was the left behind. What should the harvest of the end-time church be? We have, my friends, the Boaz blessing to walk the fields and pick up the hurting and the helpless. Grace for a stranger. Yes, the one who didn't belong, Ruth, was blessed and favored in the field. She didn't have to go to another field. That's what she was told. She could patiently glean enough from the one field. Don't go to another field when you have plenty to be done in this field. Some miss the blessing of what they could get right where they are because they're looking for what they have already have in development. They're looking for it somewhere else. They just don't see all the results. So they chase something else, sometimes never quite being satisfied or fulfilled in what they originally had the opportunity to do. So I encourage you, stay, be patient. Walk with the servants. Get your pastor's vision. Get a part of what the Lord is inspiring you to do in the field that you're in right now. What soul in your neighborhood? What stranger on the street? What foreigner of faith in the stores that you shop? Or somebody that it seems as though coincidentally you come across their path and they're hungry for God? I tell you today that patience will lead you to plenty. And then Ruth 2 and 11 says, And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. You see, the Lord knows what you've given up for his kingdom. That's why Jesus let his disciples know in Matthew 19 and 28 through 30. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You see, here in this context of Ruth, the word left is a strong verb that signifies to abandon, to forsake. That's the spirit of Ruth we need in this hour. We need those who have burned their bridges to the world that they were saved out of. They have forsaken any thought of ever wanting to return to the filthy dens of deception, or the enslaving pits of perverse actions, or the darkened halls of lust and pride. They have set their affection on a better land, and they will never go back. They don't want to return to Moab's misery once they've tasted of Canaan's covenant. They don't want to go back to lifeless idols once they've encountered a living God. They don't want to go back to the homeland of sin once they've been reborn in a promised land of spiritual satisfaction. You see, Moab's memory fades a little more each day in the sunrise of promise. But you can't sow in Moab and reap in Israel. You can't want earthly acclaim and Moab's popularity and gain the heart of Judah. The true praisers of God have forsaken the past. They have forsaken the world and the prisons of the world that they were delivered from. You can't long for the successes of the world and reap the fruit of spiritual breakthroughs and encounter the incomparable supernatural. The nativity of the flesh was in Moab, but the spiritual future, Ruth's significant part of the future messianic lineage, came when she left Moab behind. The lingering shame, the call of yesterday's affections, the reach of people once loved, the connections of Moab's causes, the fears of not being accepted in a strange land, in a new experience, the emotions conjured up when you think of things you knew in the land of your nativity, in the sinner's home of spiritual Moab. But you have to leave it behind. You have to let it go. You have to loosen yourself from the binds that tie you to family traditions and long-ago influences. Eventually, the pressures subside. The temptations to go back, to do those things again, are distant and cloudy and too ambiguous to challenge you. Oh, think of it in a historical context, how Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees for the yearning of a kingdom. Peter, James, and John left fishermen's nets to explore the seas of the gospel. Jacob left his homeland for the people of the East and came back decades later with children who would make up the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus left behind heaven to deliver the world from hell. Paul left behind Gamaliel's teaching to take up the mantle of the gospel to the Gentiles. Ruth 2 and 12 goes on to say, The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see, reapers trust the Lord, and they walk in the shadow of the Almighty, and they lean not to their own understanding, but they trust the process, and they take advantage of the promises. In verse 13, she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. and she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat. And he sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Oh, my friend, I think about how Ruth is among the reapers, how Ruth is willing to work and willing to go beyond the ordinary, and the blessing of Boaz that came upon her, and how she was given handfuls of purpose. This means that as they walked along, they would drop some of these stalks on purpose, and she would be allowed to glean them. And they would not rebuke her, but she would walk as one of them. She would be blessed. She would glean in the field until even. Oh, my friend, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the Church of the Living God has this sole responsibility: to go into the world, to preach the gospel to the world, to preach deliverance of the name of Jesus to the world. It is the powerful seed of the Word of God that has been planted into the world. And as we go through the fields of this generation, every culture, every ethnicity, every multicultural open door, as we see the fields that are ready, that are ripe, we must walk in them. We must be like Ruth among the reapers. Let us not be found sitting on the side with the critics. Let us not be found sitting in the house at the end of the day with regret for what we didn't do. But let us sit by the reapers, as the scripture said in Ruth 2 and 14. And let us partake of that which we have been blessed to be a part of. Let us know that in this hour, there are so many people that are hurting. There are so many people that are confused on the congested roads of philosophy. They are losing their faith. Many who have never even had an encounter with God are trusting in other spiritual sources. They're giving in to the different blends of witchcraft, the different brands of false doctrines, the different sounds of spiritual influences that come out over the airwaves, that are on the televisions and on the radios and on their search engines, and dominates their time and their hearing. And they give themselves to the perverted spirits and idolatrous doctrines and ideas and teachings of this hour. But those of us who know what the gospel of Jesus Christ can do, what an Acts 2:38 experience can do, we must be like Ruth among the reapers. We must glean the fallen. We must reach for the broken. We must understand that there is a great harvest around the edges and on the fringes. People that have been rejected in society, but even the most successful among us that are not satisfied. Why would they be suicidal when they've got millions in the bank? Why would they be looking for some kind of escape experience or a drug to give them some kind of temporary satisfaction or euphemistic feeling or some kind of ethereal escape if they were so happy? But this world leaves them shortchanged. It leaves them begging for more. And that's why Jesus said that if we believed on him, out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. And I believe I'm speaking to somebody today who's tired of the desert dry conditions of dead religion, but you want a living experience, and Jesus Christ has that for you. You don't have to settle for some compromised version. You don't have to settle for some modern twist that is more tolerant of sin rather than the deliverance that comes with salvation and being cleansed by the blood. You can repent of your sins today. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You can receive the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, which is where the Lord Jesus comes and dwells with you and in you, takes up residence in your heart. Oh, my friend, today hear the call of God. And be like Ruth among the reapers. Glean the gladness that comes with the Holy Ghost. Reap the redemption that comes by the blood of the Lamb. Be born of the water and of the Spirit. I pray that somebody today listening to this will find the courage and the confidence to reach for the old rugged cross, that they'll leave behind the brokenness and the bankrupting things of this world that leave you wanting more, desiring more. I pray that you could have a Ruth experience today, that God has grace for a stranger. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.